أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace and blessings be upon you. The Awaita One Foundation presents Hajj Hasanain Rajab Ali in the holy month of Muharram, year 1432 Hijri 2010, at the Islamic House of Wisdom in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. For media downloads or to buy the DVD of this lecture, as well as for other media and educational resources, please visit us online at www.awaitedone.org or call us at 313-718-1196. The AOF does not necessarily approve of the contents herein. Selling this CD is strictly prohibited. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق ونور أرش أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيبنا وسيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين المظلومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد. Allah also tells us in his Quran another surah, another ayah. In Surah Ali Imran, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And from among you, there should be a party who invite to good and enjoin what is right and forbid the wrong, and these it is that shall be successful. This is in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 104. I begin in Allah's name, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graced us with honor and dignity, and considers us worthy to be tested and tried. And in this system of trials, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with free will. And I've spoken about this in my presentations, but I need to reiterate it constantly, that we have limited free will in the scope of predestination, and that in that free will, it is our choice that we make at a moral level. The real examination at the free will level is in the choices we make at the moral level. Meaning, the choices we make that are good versus evil is what is being tested. Not sizes, not how much money I owe or I own, not quantity, quality. And the best quality in Islam is at the level of morality more than anything else. I mean, our possessions, for example, a person could have $1 million, another person could have $2 million. The quantity is not under trial. The what you do with the quantity is under trial. The moral examination is under trial, meaning we are being tried at the moral level of what we do with the quantities. So at the end of the day, all our transactions ultimately boil down to the halal and the haram, the wajib and the makruh and the mustahab and the mubah and the and these five ahkam al-khamsa. You find these are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us on. Hence, we understand that we have to pass this exam. We know we're being examined. And we know that our morality is being examined. And you will notice that if we don't look at the best role models, then our morality will be shortchanged. It's that simple. If I look up to an evildoer, for example, If I look up to people like the Bani Umayyah, as people they were okay, since they did Shahadatain, so they're okay within the folds of Islam, and I see that to be okay, and if I see leaders like them committing crimes and evil deeds, they did good and they did bad. After all, no creation does everything bad. Even Iblis doesn't do everything bad. I mean, he did worship Allah. Okay, his existence is good. No one can do 100% evil. Your existence is already good. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. Whatever Allah creates is good. So the foundation has to be good. Now through free will, you go away from the mercy of Allah, from the rahmah of Allah, and therefore you deserve to be punished. But if I look up to such people as my leaders, and I say it's okay, then my morals will come in that pathway. And Allah says, يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَانِهِمْ. Right? فَمَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابُ بِيَمِينِ. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly stating that on the Day of Judgment, everybody will be raised with his imam. Here it means whoever you placed in front of you as your role model, the one who is going to guide you, the one who is going to tell you the do's and the don'ts, the one you're going to look up to, is the one you're going to be raised with. So if I look at leaders today, and I say the presidency, for example, I'll give you an example, look at the abject state of reality in our society today. It's become so low when it comes to our moral levels. It's so low, you want to see it? It's amazing how low it is, and we are silent about it. The whole event of Karbala is to make one critical point, that when evil is committed, do not be silent. That is the boiling point, I call it, of Karbala. When evil is committed, do not be silent. Rise. Even if your life has to be paid for protecting that truth, then give it. That's why Allah said, لَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَا وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Don't say those who die in the way of Allah are dead. Nay, they are alive, but you can't see them. Allah says, I honor them because they rose to stop, because they are the promoters of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. When we see such evilness, then we have to rise, at least even in the house. We have to say to our children and to our wives and our sons and our daughters and our mothers and our fathers and our husbands, and we have to say to them, this is evil, we must not accept this. We must be vociferous about it. Let the community call us extremists, whatever. There is a real extremist, and then there is a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the enemy doesn't like you and me, of course they're going to call us extremists. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Even Ibn Ziyad called Imam Hussein an extremist. You know that? He said, that extremist. He called him an extreme man. He called him all kinds of negative words. Even Yazid called Imam Hussein negative words. So in the eyes of who do you call who? Today we are called terrorists. In whose eyes? In whose tongue? Let them say it. I look at it, alhamdulillah. If that is what it takes for them to address all of us, 1.8 billion Muslims who are peace-loving people on earth, as extremists and terrorists, then there's something wrong with their lenses. Something is wrong with their media. Something is wrong with the way they're even looking at what truth is all about. We need to rise and tell them, hey, hold on, you're doing something wrong. What are you talking about? My religion never promoted killing. My religion doesn't even have the word sword in the entire Quran. Saif is not mentioned in the entire Quran. There's no word called saif. There's no word sword in the entire Quran. Anybody tells us that Islam was spread with a sword, raise your hand and say, excuse me, I'd like to know, with your infinite wisdom that you seem to be projecting at, why is it that my religion does not tell me anything about the sword then in the very scriptures of God? Why don't I have that word in it? If you're going to address me this way, I'd like to know why. And why is it my religion is the only religion in the world whose name means peace and submission? Isn't this a contradiction? It's an accusation. That's the abject state of the life that we're living in, brothers and sisters. Today you find, when this is what I'm talking about as far as our abject state of morality. Clinton, our president, leader. Look at the Clintons. They say Clintons are a dynasty. Dynasty. They're a dynasty, you know, wow. You know, rich, powerful, husband, wife, you know. Just wielding power, hopping the world, you know, powerful people. Ooh, wah, ooh. Allah says, don't be fooled by what you see. It's just a facade. See the reality. The sad thing is, we as American people, You find Clinton is found with a woman in White House. He's so bold. You know, White House, you've got hearing aids everywhere. Everything is somehow tight. Everybody's watching everybody. There's no trust. And he's so bold to be spending time with a woman while he's married. So he's committing adultery. And everybody shrugs their shoulders. Well, go ahead, point a finger. I can't, because if I do, then they're going to point a finger at me because I'm as dirty as he is. So go ahead, you know, impeach him. Well, we could get him on lies. He lied in front of the grand jury. Yeah, but he committed an indecent act. Where's our morality today? What indecent act? Who's going to point a finger? Like Isa alayhi salam said, they said that prostitute, you know, according to the Christian Bible, they said, you know, they say, some say this issue of this prostitute didn't exist. But if we take it further, Jesus makes a brilliant question. He asks them, they were going to stone this woman. He said, let the one who is pure take the stone first. Who's the one who's not blameworthy? Raise it and then hit that woman. It's a profound question that if you're going to point a finger, there's three pointing back at you. Look at yourself first. What we find is that if I'm not working to purify myself, I can't scream then. I cannot come against the immorality. I become party to the immorality. This is why the society today has this abject state. Hey, I'm doing it, he's doing it, my neighbor's doing it, we're all doing it, my children are doing it. So when the president is doing it, no problem. Now we have a problem. Because then when the couples come and say, my husband has been cheating behind my back. I said, but isn't that what the society tells us? It's okay. Freedom of expression. Shouldn't we be expressing free? No, that's a violation. That's a violation of my trust. And beautiful. Let's talk. Wonderful. Let's get down to the bottom line. What is it now? Dignity. Sanctity. Morality. What? It comes out now. Beautiful. Lovely. Let's talk. But when we are talking on the podiums, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, obey, be submissive, and be kind, and be gentle, and be modest. Cover yourself. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, lower your eyes. Oh, extreme. Extreme religion. Telling us to wear hijab and lower our eyes. This is extreme. Look, our moral levels, when they go this low, we can't even raise a finger. Then, when they butcher our people, we say, well, I can't say anything. I'm comfortable here, you know. I'm in my own little hole. This is a problem. Now let's not lose hope. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Please, the point, the objective of this discussion is not to damn or condemn anyone. We're all victims. We all fall into it. You can't drive on the highway today without some billboard out there with some half-dressed female, especially. You notice men just can't sell cars. Do you notice that? You ever see a man without a shirt selling a car? Why, men are not beautiful? Because the man is the hunter. And the woman is supposed to be the hunted. She is the one, and she is that attraction. She is the one who is attractive. We all know it. Ask any marketing agent, will tell you. You can't sell a product, put a woman next to it. Because his fantasies will go. And start seeing a car with that woman. And then the next thing, he buys the car, but there's no woman. He says, okay, the point was, great. We got you to buy something. We're just products. I'm telling you, we're just engineered. You know, we're just moving like robots, being manufactured. And we're all falling prey to the corporatocracy systems that's out there busy manufacturing systems for us and telling us what is halal and haram. The Messenger of Allah said there will come a time when the worst situation will be when haram becomes halal and halal becomes haram. This is one of the worst situations in life. When things are flipped upside down, that the minute you say, I want to pray, they call you an extremist. I want to cover myself, you're an extremist. You want to obey Allah, you are out of place. Even in the academic institution, you talk about God, even in the world of science, they say, are you feeling okay? I said, I'm asking you, are you feeling okay? Because I see it very clearly, the hands of God in this fantastic science. The question is, why have you turned a blind eye? So I'm posing the question to you. Do you feel okay? But that's the world we live in, isn't it? It's the world that we live in today, where the world has manufactured our structures. Brainless, just move, Live with the times. It's okay, it sounds good. But when it hits home, when our children are getting lost, when our communities are being shattered, when divorces are increasing, impropriety is increasing. I heard somebody telling me these abortion clinics, even on Schaefer, are so busy with our, some of our community. Amazing. What are our sisters doing in those clinics? Because today in the world of science, it's a matter of press a button and things happen, you know? It's okay. I said, it's not the machinery that we're talking about. What happened to the dignity, the morality, the quality of womanhood, the way we have been left with the ways of Ahlul Bayt? Can any one of us ever imagine the members of Ahlul Bayt having any impurities in them? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا صَلَوَاتَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Allah says, I purify you, O Ahlul Bayt, with a thorough purification. I remove all filth. Here, yuridullah doesn't mean future. It means constant, was, is, and will continue. Irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not future tense. It's constant. Innama yuridullah, it means they were born pure, they were raised pure, and they died pure. Why is Allah purifying them? He's letting me know that's your template. That's your moral ground that you're going to live by. If you're going to submit yourself to any other governmental systems out there, they will take you astray. They themselves will indulge in haram, and then they will ask you to join them. In fact, when you go for business meetings many a time, they'll say, we'll toast to some wine or to some beer or something. You have to. Many a times I get communities asking me, I'm in corporate America and I go to these meetings and I'm forced to sit around people toasting alcohol. What do I do? I said, let them know it is wrong and avoid those gatherings. He says, but then I'm not going to progress. I said, you think the rizq comes from those people? Huh? It comes from them? Let me give you an example. Subhanallah. Personal example. I was in Africa with a family that's very well off. They own auto dealerships. One of the very wealthy families, but very submissive to Allah. It's an admiration when I see wealthy people who have given their ways to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I admire. It gives me a clear vision of what it means to own wealth, the way Sulaiman owned wealth. When he says, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala waliday wa an a'mala salihan tarda wa adkhilni bi rahmatika fi ibadika as-salihun. Sulaiman is a prophet of God, a powerful man, controlling the jinn even. He is so powerful. He says, Rabbi awzi'ni. O Allah, induce in me an ashkura ni'mataka allati, to be grateful and thankful to you, O Allah, for what you have given me and my parents. You find such people. There are rich people in our communities. I've traveled, some wealthy families who are so balanced, you don't even know they've got money, but secretly they're giving. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ سِرًّا عَلَانِيَّ is another ayah. In secret and in public. This is what we need to do. We need to understand wealth is not bad. Power is not bad. Dignity and leading is not bad. Owning millions of is not bad. Use it properly with examples, but don't submit to the satanic ways. Don't let corporate America tell you what the morals should be. That when you possess this millions, this is how you're going to possess it. It's a voracious, beastly character out there. They don't care. That's Machiavelli there. Eat them. Destroy them. Look at what's happening to the continent of Africa. People are being robbed. Today we've got more obese people on earth than malnutrition. Statistically, more people are overweight now than they're malnutrition. There is a serious imbalance in the distribution of wealth, serious imbalance in the distribution of nutrition, even to our children in the world. This is something we must be aware of and figure out, what do I do as an individual living on this earth to stop it, at least for myself and my family? قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارٍ. Save yourselves at least. It's a serious problem. What do we find? We find we have to be strong. This man was going to get the dealership of Hyundai. You know, Hyundai is a big dealership, Korean company. So he and his brother were called to Korea. And they were called to Korea And the owners of Hyundai, the executives, were going to decide whether to give this dealership to them in all of East Africa. You get that exclusive dealership. You know, you've got a niche market. No one can play with you. That's a lot of money. It's not like going to sign a small little contract. You're talking about lots of money. And there's a huge amount of investment in that. So they reach, and they're in a place where they're sitting down in a hotel, and they're having this meeting. So these executives order wine on the same table. The two brothers say to the executives, "You have ordered this alcohol. Our religion forbids it. With due respect, continue to drink it if you would like. When you are done, call us back." They stood up and walked away. Now some of us may think, oh, extreme. This is extreme. Astaghfirullah. Brother, what are you doing? We would say, some of us, huh? You know? But why? Because we want to do it. That's why we say it's extreme. Because we're probably doing it. So hey, don't do this. What are you saying? You know, don't bring this up. Please be quiet. Oh, why? Well, it'll expose more things. You know what I mean? Keep it under the carpet. We're happy. You're happy? I'm happy. You're happy. This is what happens. They stood up. They walked out. After half an hour, they came back. They looked at them and said, "We have decided to give you the dealership." He says, "You haven't interviewed us." "So we don't need to interview you. If you've got the guts to do what you just did with such principles, you are the best people to have in our business. Welcome to Hyundai." Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I was with him, I was his guest in Africa. He told me, when I was in the dealership, he was giving me the tour of his dealership, he said, "Let me tell you how we got this." I said, "Subhanallah." That's the honor and the dignity of a people who do not submit to the immoral ways of a system, who submit to the ways of Allah. And then Allah is khayrul raziqin. Wallahu khayrul raziqin. Allah will give you. Find your pathway. And if you're stuck and your investment is very, very deep and you can't just break away, then seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek to Allah. Say, "Oh Allah, I'm distressed with this. I'm bothered by this. This business is bugging me. I'm not happy with this haram. Please make an avenue for me to get out." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us an avenue. وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I am near. I reply you when you ask me. Come and ask me. Take my way." That's the bottom line. I see that if we sell our souls into these indecent pathways, then we have shortchanged our own potentials. And we are insulting the representatives of Allah on Judgment Day that you were not effective enough to save me. I think that's a big insult. We are way too honored, way too elevated. Our potential is way too good that none of us, and I believe not a single human being, and I'm addressing the world here, not Muslims, I'm addressing the human race, for my concern is each and every one of us on Judgment Day should be successful. That's the goal of a believer. If you and I dare to say we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must love humanity. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Having said this, our morals, let's go and delve into what the Quran has to say about issues of morality. As you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses in various ways about morality, and each and every aspect of them has been exemplified in the movement of our imams, particularly Imam Hussein, in public while going to Karbala. You find the statements he made while he's moving towards Karbala were exemplary statements, deeply rooted. They were fundamental to resonate in our hearts, to live in our hearts, and to give us this animation to come forward and to resist any kind of evil forces out there. Alhamdulillah, see today, I say this with dignity, that our community, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt today, are a nemesis to the shayateen of earth. They're a nemesis. They shake the foundations of evildoers. We know it. We see it. It's not a secret. See it. See the global arena. See who the big shots are talking about. See where the fear is coming from. See it. And then boil it down and say, what's giving these people this power? What's giving these people this resistance power to fight the forces that are so powerful? They control media, money, banks. They've got everything. They're controlling our brains, you know, like the Matrix. You know? You're just like this coming out of a pod. You know, we're just being manufactured pods. Now you're breaking apart because haq is being spoken and the imam is calling. Hal min nasir in yansuruna. I am here. Who among you is going to follow this moral principle? You find the ones who are rising and putting down the evildoers and exposing their lies publicly. In the world today, you find the lovers of Ahlul Bayt are coming. It's not a secret. Now some may brand it as something called terrorism, and they may brand it as extremism. Let them brand what they want. No human being in history, even Fir'aun, did not stop branding Musa alayhi salam as a liar. He didn't even stop branding that. What else is left? Let's not be afraid. What we need to do at the greatest fighting, as you want to call it, against the world, is to be moral, to be trustworthy, to be honest, to be truthful, to be generous, to be giving and forgiving. When we put the two together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us special people. Then even the enemy who doesn't like us will say, you know, there's something special about these people. There was a brother working for Aramco, Arab American Oil Company. He was a very dark-skinned Indian working. So they thought he's probably a Hindu. They had a meeting in Saudi Arabia discussing how to spot a Shia. He's a Shia himself. They said, you will spot them the following. When you see them, they have a smile on their face. SubhanAllah, he's telling me personally, he said, I was in the meeting and they have a PowerPoint and they're describing the signs of a Shia in Saudi Arabia. SubhanAllah, look, it's there, it's resonating. Don't be fooled. Don't lose hope in this society. We see all kinds of crazy things. Look at the real substance. Look at the seed that's growing. It's the rahmah of Allah. It's there. Just grab onto it and just massage it and become part of it, and we will become different. We will save our souls. He said, they smile. And when you meet them, they will be the first ones to say salamu alaykum to you. And they are very generous, for in that country it is illegal to hitchhike. He says, but they will stop and give you a ride. If you are stuck on the highway, they will stop and give you a ride. So watch out for them. They're very dangerous. SubhanAllah. If that's dangerous, Alhamdulillah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My time is not very long tonight, because we are going to be doing, inshallah, a small fundraising to support the causes of these institutions. So I will touch on critical points tonight, and then tomorrow I will continue. As you know, tonight is the sixth night of Muharram, approaching Ashura, and we know that Ashura was on the 10th of Muharram. The whole event that we're discussing, the major event, was only a matter of a few hours. Think about it. The massacre was only a few hours. Think about that. But it was so monumental. The message of Imam Hussein was so monumental. The vision was so monumental. To me, what impresses me is 14 centuries later, we're not pouring billions of dollars in television shows to try to revive the spirit of the people. The people just come. You go anywhere in the world today, go to the haram of Imam Hussein, 8-10 million people. Bombs are blowing, people are running for a few seconds, coming right back. Go to Imam Rada's haram in Mashhad. You see, you can't even get near the sarcophagus of the Imam. You will wait 24 hours, you can't get. People are just glued. They just have so much love for Ahlul Bayt. Today, those people today, imagine 95% of them are followers of Ahlul Bayt. That's a miracle. Miracle for a nation that was originally founded from a different school, and it became followers of Ahlul Bayt in the vast majority, and they have become one of those nemesis in the world today. But look at, I say the reason part of that movement is Imam Raza alayhi salam. That when Mamun called him, he called him to support his own mission because he was fighting his brother for the caliphate. Imagine, the caliphate had become so ridiculous that the brothers against brothers were killing each other for the seat of power to call themselves Khalifa. Is this what our Prophet left us with? That you and I should kill each other to become royalties and to have palaces, and that my son should inherit me because he's my son even if he's a drunkard like Yazid? Is this what the Prophet left us with? Is this the morality that Yazid says that alcohol is forbidden in Islam, so I follow the religion of the Christians? I make it halal for myself. Is this the quality we should follow? Is this the Islam we should follow? No. Absolutely not. You find that Ma'mun, when he calls Imam Rida alayhi salam for his own personal reasons, he's kicking himself in the grave today. For the quality of nurun ala nur yahdillahu li nurihi man yasha, the quality of light upon light, and Allah guides through the light whoever he wishes, that even if you put him in Alaska, the world will be touched by them, because that's the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Rida alone going to Persia, going to Iran today, you find the power of Imam Rida. Ask any member in that nation and ask them, what is your greatest love? Who is that personal Imam? They all love Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, but they say, our Rida is ours. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He's ours because, not because he's a human being, he's ours because he's the embodiment of akhlaq, he's the embodiment of character, he's the embodiment of that kind of nature that you and I all should have. I mentioned that these people who mention how to spot a Shia, our community here, we also need a serious help. We are all good, alhamdulillah, in nature. For example, in these centers, I go sometimes to this bathroom, filthy. You can't even go in there. Is this akhlaq? Is this Islam? If a non-Muslim, and there are non-Muslims who come to these gatherings, they're making an assessment, who are these people? We're hearing in the media, these people are crying for this man who was a great representative of morality. Let's go watch them. Maybe we will be touched by them. Maybe their actions will become a reason for us to get closer to God. That's you and I. You and I cannot avoid that. You and I cannot avoid this role modeling. It's not outside of our prescription. Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. Promoting good and forbidding evil is wajib. It's obligatory upon us. Even if we don't do it, we are doing it. Because we could be promoting the wrong in the reverse. Although amr bil ma'ruf is wajib and nahi anil munkar. What does it mean? Amr bil ma'ruf means promoting good. Nahi anil munkar means demoting evil. We have to actively promote good, demote evil. But if we are lousy role models, then are we not promoting evil? Are we not promoting wrong? Now I see in our communities here that, okay, large crowds, so what? Each one of us, if we were to pick up one piece of toilet paper or one piece of tissue on the floor, this place would be sparkling. With the numbers that we are, it would be sparkling. Any place where Allah is mentioned, even Imam Ali alayhi salam shows us the value. This is an Islamic house of wisdom. That's the Islamic center of America. There is Majma. These are all Islamic centers. We are honored to have them in our communities. But let's go even further. Imam Ali alayhi salam enters a dilapidated church. A church which was no longer there. Just it was a ruined church. And he and his companions enter it. And one of the companions makes a comment, a derogatory comment about the Christian. Imam says, don't say that. This is a holy place where God was worshipped, respected, a dilapidated place, a place where it gets used anymore. It's broken. Even then Imam Ali alayhi salam says, respect it, for it is a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was mentioned. This is Islam, brothers and sisters. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us through Ahlul Bayt to respect the churches and the synagogues and the temple, that we should respect them when people worship God, what about our places where we worship? We have our old ladies working here. I look at them. Their hands are scraped, constantly cleaning. I say, my God, the service they're giving. I say, no matter how much you pay those sisters, we will never pay them enough for what they're doing for the ummah. It goes unnoticed. It goes unheard of. People don't talk about it because it's part of the substructure. But that's the structure that you and I have to examine in history. Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Look, he's our Imam. A brilliant Imam. An Imam whose wisdoms, subhanAllah, his lessons, all the Muslim schools today, all were all students of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. All the schools today that you look at, Imam Ja'far Sadiq was their teacher. That's the power of Imam Ja'far Sadiq. You find he goes to Hajj. Now imagine Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam was alive with us. And he's present among us. Would we misbehave? How would we feel? How would we feel in his presence? My God, I think about that a lot of times. I said, how would I see him? Would I look at him with dignity? Would I just feel so good? Would I give my life? It's a character we have to examine ourselves for. Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam goes to Hajj. Every year he went to Hajj, he strategically chose a caravan, the Hamla, that no one knew him. You know that? You would think this is the Imam. You know, when we go to the Hajj these days, 5-star in the big towers, you know, we're being showered. So the only thing that's left now to do Hajj is to float on a carpet around the Kaaba. Air-conditioned. Let's not forget the air-conditioned. It's very important. I'm being facetious, but, you know, facetious in a way that's derogatory in the sense, wow, is this what Islam is telling us? Look at what our imams did. What did our imams do? Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam would choose a caravan that no one knows him. No one knows him. And then he would go with them. And what was his duty in the Hamla? Incredible! He was the cook. He would clean. Imam, thousands of students. He's the teacher. You take all our marajid to today, put them all together. They cannot come near our Imam. That's how great Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam is. He's going in a hamla. He's going in a caravan where he cooked and he cleaned. Wow. What lesson have we taken when we come to listen to these majalis and then we throw a tissue paper, we say, let them clean it, they'll clean it. We go to the toilet, we spill the water, let them clean it. But we came to cry for Imam Hussein. We are confused. If we came to cry for Imam Hussein and our akhlaq is not at that level, we are confused. Nobody has to see us picking up that tissue. Nobody has to see us cleaning. Do it silently if you want. Let the people see you. No problem. The point is not that. The point is I've come to resonate for the love of Ahlul Bayt. At least my character should take me home and say I'm dignified. That when he was traveling, while on the caravan, a man notices him. He says, Yabna Rasulillah. Ya Aba Abdullah, Yabna Rasulillah. Imam looks down. He says, I've been recognized. And the caravan says, this is the Imam. Imam says, yes. People say, yes, this is your Imam. They were so shocked. Imam says, that was my duty. But the point I'm trying to say here is, look at the Imam. They didn't make a big deal to say, we are coming. Let everybody make waves. No. Even Imam Zainul Abidin, after the tragedy of Karbala, he's entering the Kaaba. Hisham bin Abdul Malik, who was the prince of the time to become the heir apparent, he looks at Imam Zainul Abidin and he's trying to get to the Hajj al-Aswad. This prince is trying to get to Hajj al-Aswad. He's trying to fight. No one, everybody ignores him. But then suddenly he hears a buzzing sound, silence, and people are moving. Allahu Akbar. Akhlaq, innaka ala khuluqin azeem. You and I must have this akhlaq, brothers and sisters. Imam Zainul Abidin walks into the Kaaba and people start moving. They hear this buzzing sound and they see this gentle, beautiful youth walking in. And everybody's looking at him. Just nurun ala nur. When you look at them, it's just satisfying. They say, I don't know this man. And Farazdak jumps out. He says, you know him. Anta ta'raf. You know him. I know him, you know him. This is the one that this whole Mecca and the Kaaba was created for. This is the one. There's a beautiful explanation. I'll describe it some other day. But the quality of our Imam, akhlaq, our akhlaq, brothers and sisters, our akhlaq, extremely important. I conclude tonight. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُ إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الذين ينفقون في الصراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. This is a very important verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hasten to forgiveness where paradise is greater for you than the earth and sky. What is your character to receive this? الذين ينفقون في الصراء والضراء. They are the ones who give charity in good times and in bad times. They hold back their anger. In our communities, temper tantrums are common. We are constantly throwing temper tantrums, fighting, using foul language. For example, just use of foul language. Imagine harsh words. It's so sad when we use harsh words. A believer should not have harsh words. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They forgive mankind. Our imams were those kinds of people who forgave. Let me end with a quick historical reference and then I will conclude. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as you know, as he's taken into Karbala to meet his destiny, and that destiny was purely to rise against the indecencies of the society. The Bani Umayyah wanted to eradicate morality. They wanted to make indecent behavior, alcohol, womanizing, stealing, cheating, lying, all as common practices. You know, societies today see what's happening around the world. It's very similar. Many parents come to me and say, we are afraid to raise our children in society. Where should I take them? I said, everywhere you take them, it's the same problem. You take them to the haram even, there's a problem. At the door of the haram, there's a problem. People have become subjected to all kinds of misunderstandings. The only way to revive this is to look at the true essence of Islam and to look at our role models and say our children must be raised by the standards of the way that the Prophet left us, which is the Itrat of Ahlul Bayt and the Quran. I started by saying, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ. If this Quran was revealed on a mountain, it would crumble out of fear. This is a metaphor in the Quran. We have been given this Quran as a rahmah. How many of our children read Quran? How many of our children can talk ayahs of Quran? How many of our children and adults can articulate the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We don't put much importance in that. Today, alhamdulillah, a young boy came to me and says, brother, I want to learn the Quran. Can you please guide me? Where can I go? There are teachers in our community who are good reciters. There are teachers in our community who teach Quran. We have to put importance in it. My life has, I keep looking at myself, what makes me cry the most is for my age that I've reached, I could have reached much higher stages if I would have spent time reading this Quran. I indulge myself in busy things, in silly things, in mundane things in my life that has kept me away from understanding the depth of the Quran. In the morning when we recite Quran, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran at Fajr time, it's mashhuda, it is a witness. In the Fajr, it's a witness. When you read it, it hits the heart. It wants you to follow Allah. We don't do that much. When I read the Quran, I said, wow, I read this verse many times, but I didn't know it's even in the Quran. Every time I read this, wow, I didn't even know this verse was in the Quran. You may have completed the Quran 10 times, 20 times, 50 times. You said, wow, I didn't even know it. Allah says, keep coming back to me. Listen to me. I'm going to console you. I'm going to show you what life is about. I'm going to show you what morality is about. This Quran, brothers and sisters, please. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the entire trip as he's going towards Karbala, he's reciting Quran. Our imams were masters of Quran. When people came to ask them questions, they said, let me tell you what the Quran said. Then they said, have you read this ayah? They said, yes, Ya Ibn Rasulullah. He says, this is what it means. That's what that means. Because Allah says, لا يمسو إلا المتحرون. None can touch it except the purified ones. They understand the true depth of this Quran. We are blessed with them. Let's remember them. You here getting together in this month, nights of Ashura, these crowds. This is a big rahmah and a ni'mah. We are a small, small piece of this pie. If you examine the world right now, hundreds of millions of people today, as we speak, are commemorating the Shahada of Imam Hussein. It's powerful. It's real. And inshallah, we will succeed with it. But let's not lose hope, brothers and sisters. We live in a society that's telling us wrong things. Our friends are telling us wrong things. Our community is telling us wrong things many a times. We have to stop dead in our tracks and say, okay, what do I do to change myself? What do I do to become a better person? This is what the Imam wanted for us. That's why he went to Karbala. He went for his destiny to promote what? At the grave of the Holy Prophet, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is talking, he's saying, I have an obligation to promote good and forbid evil. This Yazid is flipping it the opposite. He has made evil good and good evil. We have to rise against them. We have to go and silence them. That spirit of rising against indecencies should start at home with our families, with our daughters, with our wives, with our husbands, with our mothers and fathers. It must start at home. I'm saying this wholeheartedly, sincerely. Listen to what Imam Hussein alayhi salam says. A man comes to me and says, I commit sins and I can't stop. What do you suggest? Imam replies the following. He says, do five things and commit any sin you wish. Imam is replying, who's this? Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look at the wisdom of our Imam. He says, first, don't eat the sustenance given by Allah, and then commit any sin you want. Meaning, get your own food. Don't get the one God put on this earth. Get it yourself. Make it yourself. Go ahead. The man is stunned. He says, second, come out of the guardianship of Allah. Control your own existence. Come out of Allah's system. Come out, then commit any sin you wish. Third, go to a place where Allah cannot see you. Then commit any sin. And when death comes to you, stop him. Then commit any sin. Imam is replying. Fifth, when the gatekeeper of hell intends to throw you into it, don't enter and commit any sin you wish. It's obvious. This is our Imam talking. Can you and I escape that? No. So why are we committing sins? We're in the rahmah of Allah. We're in the grace of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us and says, I am graceful to you. I have honored you. Stand up, please. Stand up to this honor. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says the following. And then I conclude. He says, this is a sermon he gave in Baiza. As you know, there were 14 places Imam stopped. One of the places he stopped was called Baiza. Imam starts from Mecca, going northeast towards Kufa. And then he's sidetracked further north, and he stops in Karbala. On his way, Baiza, which was the 10th place before he reaches Karbala, he says the following. He says, O people, the Prophet has said that if a man sees a tyrannical ruler transgressing against Allah and the Prophet and oppressing people but does nothing by word or action to change the situation, then it will be just for Allah to place him where he deservingly belongs. Do you not see what low level the affairs have come down? Do you not observe that truth has not been adhered to and falsehood has no limit? And as for me, I look upon death as but a means of attaining martyrdom, and I consider life among transgressors as nothing but an agony and an affliction. Look at this, is Imam talking. He says, rise against tyrants, rise. That's why I am going. In the night of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked, on the ninth night, he asked the Yazid's army to not attack him, to hold back so they could pray. They prayed in the night. They buzzed all night. They prayed to Allah. And they were saying, when people commented, they said the Sahab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were smiling. Smiling. They were going to get butchered the next day. They said, we are so happy we're going to meet our Lord. We're so happy we're going to be in the proximity of the Prophet. We're so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graced us to be near the representative of God. There is a saying of the Prophet, whoever dies for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, on Judgment Day, Allah will raise them together and they will be with the Messenger even in paradise. What a great honor. There was one young person, and I end on this, was Qasim ibn al-Hasan. Qasim was the young son of Imam Hassan. He was only 11, 12 years old, and he comes to Karbala with his mother. You find Qasim comes to Karbala, and during the battle, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam is fighting, and the torture is taking place, the killing is taking place, he finally tugs on his uncle's trousers as a young child and says, I am ready to go. Imam Hussein looks at him as his nephew and he begins to cry. He says, your father left you to me as an amana. Now I have to send you in front of the battle. Imam Hassan had told him that when this scenario comes, don't deny my son this honor to rise in the honor of fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Ahlul Bayt. A 12-year-old, those of you who are 12 years old, 11 years old, take heed, brothers. Don't follow the satanic ways. Follow Qasim ibn al-Hasan. He says to Imam Hussein, he says, death to me is sweeter than honey. How does a 12-year-old say that? Because the wisdom implanted into these children of Ahlul Bayt was supreme, was so high that when we look at them in the annals of history, we are humbled that we think we're good. We're nothing compared to these people. Nothing. They say Qasim ibn al-Hasan ascends on the horse. They say he was not a warrior. There were 72 warriors. They say he wasn't even dressed properly to battle. They say he had slippers. And one of his sandals, even the strap was broken. that as he went towards the battlefield, as Imam kisses him goodbye and sends him towards the battlefield, the enemies say, we see this qamar Bani Hashim, we see a little moon coming toward us with a sword. He says, I am here to protect the religion of my grandfather. They surrounded Qasim ibn al-Hasan and they struck him. One of them came and struck him on the head, and Qasim fought. They say he fought valiantly as a young child. He must have damaged them because the zeal is higher than any physical strength you and I can have. They struck him on the head and Qasim falls from the horse. He shrieks, he calls out, Ya Ammi, my uncle, come and help me. Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes running towards Qasim ibn al-Hasan. And the one who struck him on his head, Imam strikes him on the head and dislodges him. But by the time the horses and the enemies who came to help, at that time there was so much dust. When the dust settled, that enemy who killed Qasim was trampled by the horses. But the Imam saw this beautiful young body under his feet. And he looked up and said, Allah, I accept this tragedy. Ridan bikaza wa tasliman li'amri. Ala la'anatullahi al-qawm al-talimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Let's recite Fatiha, please.